Blog Talk Radio.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and the wisdom of God's Word. Let us open up in prayer, as the song says. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, and your grace, for giving us the breath of life and another opportunity to come and speak about your Word, to learn about your Word, and to take it, Father God, and incorporate it to our heart, that we may have the mind and heart of Christ, so that we may go forward and share the good news and make disciples of others. We praise you, Father God, that in the name of Jesus, as I get ready to go forward, let me and my flesh decrease, and let the Holy Spirit rise big in me, that I may accurately speak the word, Father God, that will help us to grow and become mature spiritual Christians. We praise you, we honor you, we adore you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I'd like to welcome you and thank you for coming again to the Spirit of a Soldier. We can grow and develop in our spirit man. Today's quote is, they are friends imprinted in our heart that will never be diminished by time or distance. And true friends are those rare people who come to find you in the dark places and lead you back to the light. And the scripture says in Amos 3:3, do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? And in Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toll. So I'm reminded of a story that will all tie into this series that I'm going to present to you today. But I'm going to start it with this personal story of experience of mine when we talk about two working together. Well, a situation happened when I was younger. I was trying to get into the entertainment field while I was in the early years of my military career. So upon my return for leave home, I stopped by a friend of mine who basically had reared me when I was a young man. In some form or fashion, he was my coach, mentor, and I worked for him in his business. And his family had became a prominent status in the music business, so I thought I'd go by and visit and ask for some advice about the singing career. Well, in that, when I had went to his office, he spoke to me. We had a little moment of fellowship and niceties, and then I presented my request to him. I said, hey, you know, I'm trying to learn this singing business, and I was just wondering if you could give me some advice. Well, he was pretty helpful and willing to do that. He says, well, bring me a tape and I'll listen to it. So that's what I went out and did. Brought the tape back, and then about a week later, I returned. When I returned back, I went to go talk to him, and his secretary told him that I was there, and he proceeded to yell out the door, tell him it's not marketable, tell him it's not marketable. So I was a little confused because I wasn't trying to market anything. I was just trying to get some guidance and knowledge from an individual that I had a lot of respect for and figured he would give me the information I needed for the potential task that I was taking on. Well, when I heard that, I walked out and was a little disappointed. I said if I ever got an opportunity to meet with him again, I would tell him what I felt. Well, that opportunity presented itself, and it appeared he had a little time. So we talked again and shared some niceties, but then I proceeded to tell him what happened. He kind of forgot about it, and I said, I want to remind you, I came to you a few years ago, and I had asked you to assist me in the music business, and, you know, you basically didn't even see me, and I was a little disappointed. But that's okay, because I've moved on, and life is good for me. But I want to share a story with you of a scenario that potentially could have happened, and maybe this will help you in your thought process the next time someone comes and asks for help. So I proceed to tell him a story about the same situation where I came to ask for help, and he told me it wasn't marketable. So when I came outside the door, I explained to him that there was a guy standing there, and I'm shedding my tears. Well, I was a young man, and he said, well, what's the matter? And I said, well, I went in to talk to this individual about helping me with my singing career, and he basically just blew me off. And I was really counting on this because I wanted to be a successful singer. Well, this guy said, well, don't worry about that. I got you. Look at here. Once you come and work for me, and I'll ensure that you not only get your singing off the ground, but I'll get you a record deal. Well, in the process, he did just that. But there was some strings attached to it. He had got me caught up in the drug business. Well, that was fine for the moment because I was making money and my career was flourishing. Everything seemed to be great. Well, in the process, things turned around because, as life would have it, in the devil's den, you get caught up in the devil's activity, and that drugs took a toll on me. And as it took a toll on me, the guy pushed me out of his business. I began to become more of a drug user, and in the process, I was just out there in the wind. Well, this particular day, I happened to notice that this individual I went to ask to assist me in my music career the first time, a family member was coming out of the location. When they were coming out, I said to them, hey, I need some money. Can you give me some money? They didn't give it to me. We argued, tussled, and fight. I snatched the purse. I take off, and in the process, I pushed it down. Later, I discovered she had hit her head, and she had passed away. Now I'm sitting there in the courtroom, and the gentleman that I had went to go ask for help was across from me. And he said, how could this young man do this to me? I helped rear him. I coached him. I gave him advice. We spent quality time together. I tried to help him become a fine young man, and this is the thanks I get. Well, I looked at that individual, and I said, now you understand this story is just a scenario. But this is the story of thousands of young men and women who get caught up in the drug business, who get caught up in the street, because when they were trying to do the right thing, when they were trying to develop and mature on their journey, and they sought out the people who said that they would be in their corner, the people who they thought they could trust, the people who did rear them, coach them, and mentor them, turned their back on them, left them out there for the Satan to get a hold to them and do his job. Well, we know Satan's job is he's just waiting to kill, steal, and destroy. And this is what leads into my story today. Now, I'm taking the title of a program that I'm involved in. It's called EMI, which is Encourage Me, I'm Young. Well, I'm going to change it a little bit, and it's called EMT. Encourage me. I'm trying. Are we encouraging others to become and to continue to fight the good fight of faith on their journey? So today, let me address something that has been placed on my heart and mind for some time. It has been dear to me throughout my walk in Christ, even when I didn't know Jesus. And that feeling is walking this journey alone. For you see, throughout my journey, I've been blessed being exposed to much, traveling from one continent to another, from one state and city to another. And in my walk, I have observed and talked to many, from those who we call important in status to those we don't give them the status, the credit they deserve in the status they're in. Yet we seem to have one theme in common. And at this point in our lives, we all suffer with believing that we're walking this journey alone. For you see, the scenery's changed, the characters change, but the problem of life are all the same. They just play out in different scenes for specific characters for which God either allows or puts us in various situations of life to learn and grow from each experience. In order for us to realize we need to depend on Him in all our ways. Now, why do I bring this up? Because for the last few weeks, I've been talking to many people struggling in their journey, and they feel and felt that, like myself, they were walking this journey alone. Now, I know for the supercharged Christians, they would say, man, you're never alone, for God would never leave you or forsake you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. God gave you all the tools you need, His armor, His guardian angels, His word, His spirit. And you know He didn't give you the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And He even gave you His only begotten Son. And you know, I would have to agree with them for all practical purposes. I'm on the same page. But there comes a time in each of our lives, I know that I'm not the only one out here experiencing or feeling this way, because I've talked to too many people in my life in the course of my journey. Now, either I heard directly or indirectly the loneliness Christian people feel, the isolation Christian people feel, the disregard Christian people feel, the hurt Christian people feel, because life experience at some point causes us to feel we're on this journey alone. We can have many people around us, laughing, teaching, preaching, joking, all the things that we do throughout our normal routine that makes time go by unnoticed. And before you know it, you are either blessed to look back on your life at a ripe season age to reflect on lessons learned, or you are looking at heaven's door like Kobe and the others who were taken in the twinkle of an eye, wondering in seconds, what was it all about? And now I'm here seeing God face to face. And some would say you even see your life flash before you. And in that, did you have the support you needed on your journey that when you faced God, you felt you did all within your limiting powers to be ready for Him, for which He will say to you, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Now, why am I addressing this? Here's why. With all the millions of people in the world, thousands in many states and cities, and at least in America, we have more resources to meet and relate and communicate to others. Yet people right in our own family are feeling alone. Men and women have taken web to websites to meet people when they're standing and talking to someone right next to them every day. And when men and women say they can't trust each other because a bad experience that caused us to become scared, reluctant, untrusting, paranoid. When children are afraid to go to school because they feel they are alone because they don't fit in. And worse, they don't fit in within their own family. When husband and wives take to the arms of others because they feel alone right next to the man and woman they once said they love. I have friends who at a conference, she had a program said, I survived it, which stemmed from a divorce and again feeling alone on her journey. I heard another speaker speak about the isolation from people she viewed close to her in her life, for which she felt she was misunderstood and alone on her journey. Now the question comes to mind, why are we walking this journey alone or feeling that we are? There are many reasons to this question, ranging from who we are, how we present ourselves to others, our lack of or having knowledge that caused us to be defensive or offensive, perception of self or others, or the spirit that resides in us from which either helps or hinders us. The list goes on. But as I mentioned earlier, it is true. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, for which we should believe and hold on to this verse as if it's life itself. Yet God's powerful word eludes us at times, causing us to still feel alone on this journey. God understood the importance of man not being alone when he put it in his word right from the beginning of creation, when he said in Genesis 2:18, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now, this scripture is significant and powerful. God could have said to us, "I've given you all you need, and besides, I'm here." Yet in his infinite wisdom, he understood that man should not be alone and that he needed a helper fit for him. Jesus didn't see it to be fit to be alone as well, for he came and gathered 12 disciples to help him fight the good fight of faith, or at least be the model that we would pattern after, so we wouldn't feel that we're walking this journey alone. For even he wasn't alone, for the scripture tells us that he had the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew 28:19, it said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And even though the scripture was given to us, instructed in order for us to go do what we're called to do, you can see God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were one and had each other, if you will. And to confirm the power of their oneness, in Ephesians 4:6, it says, "There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And in John 4:14-26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." The oneness of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will become our teacher to prepare us for this journey. However, God works through man. Thus, we as humans should be there for each other as we walk through this journey and do God's will. We shouldn't be alone in this process. Many are walking alone, even though they got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I want to take a few minutes just to point out something, because this is going to be a series, and a series about developing in our discipleship, so no one will have to be alone. But yet, as you look at various discipleship disciples, what type of disciple are you? Well, Paul pointed out some things about discipleship. See, because what type of Christian are you is basically centered around your spiritual maturity. This is important because depending on the level of your spiritual maturity, your behavior and expectation would be presented differently. Therefore, those that you would turn to, it may vary significantly because of the fact of their maturity level. And Paul points this out. In the scripture, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "The person without spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through spirit. The person with the spirit making judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct? But we have the mind of Christ." And in 1 Corinthians 3:3, this is to the church and its leaders. "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you the milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans?" So these four points I'm going to point out before I close it, because this is important that no human being walking this earth, especially those who have learned to accept Christ, and as they accept Christ, they should be prepared to help others to accept Christ, should feel that they're walking this journey alone. See, iron sharpens iron, and God told us that it was not good for man to be alone. And he wasn't just talking about having a helpmate in regards to a wife or a husband. But no one should have to walk this journey alone. You know, one time one of my elders asked me and said, matter of fact, in a class, I don't understand why Dave could still be around some of his worldly friends. Well, Jesus was around them. But I'll say this about my worldly friends. I have worldly friends that I can turn to in those dark times, and they can bring me to the light because they know that I'm trying to be in the light. They'll be supportive. They'll communicate, and they'll respect my status in my walk towards my spiritual maturity. But I have some of my, if you will, Christian friends, supercharged Christian friends, that they just leave me out there hanging. I've presented them many scenarios where I've been lost. I've been struggling. I've been hurt. I've been feeling lonely. And they said, brother, I pray for you. Brother, you know God got you. Brother, you just got to hang in there. But sometimes that's not good enough in this journey. Sometimes you need somebody to spend the time with you. Sometimes you need someone to help mature you. Sometimes you need someone to sacrifice as Christ did and spend that time with you to help you get recharged. I've never, as I always say, seen a battery be able to give someone a jump that don't have his own charge. So when I'm weak and someone else is supposed to be strong, but I see too many people struggling with this walk. And it makes it easier for Satan to be able to come in and deter you and distract you because you don't have the charge. And when you reach to your brother or your sister that should be there, oh, they too busy. They got too many things going on. And it's 168 hours in a week. It's given to everybody. That is a great equalizer in itself. And anything that I've learned about people is that people make time for what they want to do. When do we make time to recharge our brothers and sisters? When do we make time to ensure that they know they don't walk this journey alone? This is why we have to assemble with the saints, because we need that charge, because life is always bombarding us with things that will continue to drain us, continue to bring us down, continue to make us feel low. And yes, we got God's word. Yes, we got God's word, but we need that flesh sometime, or at least, if you will, the spirit within the flesh that God has given us, as he said, the power and the sound mind, that when those days that my mind is off track, you can bring me back on track. These are the things that I see with people every day as they struggle through this walk. But let me point out a few types of Christians, if you will, in their spiritual maturity. First, there's the natural man who does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. This was in 1 Corinthians 2:14. This is the non-Christian, a person living by the world system who has no capacity to receive spiritual truth. Then there's the spiritual man or woman out of 1 Corinthians 2:15. The person who appraises things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. This is the other end of the spectrum. Here, the spiritual person is a mature Christian, well-developed disciple. However, the reason the non-Christian can't appraise or understand such a person is that they do not have the mind and heart of Christ. And I heard this in an intercessory prayer class this weekend. This is essential. We got to move towards having the heart and mind of Christ. You don't need for us to be so heavenly minded. We know earthly good. See, Christ came down to the world to help us. But sometimes we get so powerful, we get so high and mighty, we lose sight of the big picture. Well, you see, the mind and heart of Christ is the ability to live life from God's perspective, the capacity to think God thoughts after him. This is available to all us true believers. Well, you see, the true believer is able to make divinity-informed choices. Paul says this, the spiritual person is able to look at, understand, figure out life from a divine standpoint because he's operating from the heart and mind of Christ. And then there's the babe in Christ. This is in Corinthians 3:1. The baby Christian is someone who is brand new in his faith. They can be on fire and grow like crazy spiritually, but they cannot be full grown. It is unreasonable. Sometimes when we're talking to our kids, we expect them to operate from the same maturity level that we're operating from. But that is unfair and unreasonable because they haven't reached that point. I remember John Maxwell said, a man came and said, man, if I'd have known this 20 years ago, I'd have been really powerful in my leadership skill. And John Maxwell said, well, I couldn't help you 20 years ago because I wasn't there. We can't expect maturity from something that hasn't matured yet. And then there is the fleshly carnal Christian out of 3:2:3. The difference between the carnal Christian and the baby Christian is that the carnal believer has a hard time, has had time to mature. And he should know how to live with heavenly perspectives, but instead he thinks and acts like a non-Christian. He makes little progress toward spiritual maturity, and they have not responded to the invitation and challenge of being a disciple. And we can see through Christ's 12 disciples, as he picked different ones with different kind of characteristics and attributes and personality traits that were presented to teach us lessons. Some were spot off too quick, some had tempers, some was doubtful. But he picked them to show us that people would be different, and their maturity level would be different. And some would maybe even betray you because their maturity level is different. But even in that, the good thing that we have to hold on to in our walk and our growth is that Christ is there for us. And he uses people because the Spirit has to have a host, if you will, to be able to operate. God needs a body to operate through. That's why Christ came in the flesh. And by that, it can help us to grow to be mature spiritual Christians, if you will. So as we move forward, and I bring this to a close this week, next week we're going to talk about becoming spiritual mature Christians and understanding what it means, what the meaning of discipleship really means. Because here's the thing. If we really understand what discipleship is all about, then we can help those brothers and sisters, including myself, in those times when I'm feeling alone or lost or feeling the struggle's too hard. When Jesus talked about, take my yoke, my burden is light. See, the yoke is like a balancer for when you have your horse or your ox or what have you. Christ being the stronger can balance out, because when you have a young ox and you have an older one, they usually put the heavier load on the old one until the other one matures to handle the load. This is what Christ does for us. But he also expects us, as we would grow on our maturity level, and let me say that everybody matures at a different time and a different place. So we can't measure people just because they've been in the church 25 years or 25 days. It's based on how we invest ourselves. As I like to say, as we go through our journey, and I always bring up my acronym now, PACE, we have to prepare. We have to prepare ourselves to be truly, to become spiritually mature in our walk. We have to have the right attitude, the right mindset. We have to commit. It is a commitment to mature in any aspect. If you wanted to be like Kobe, you had to commit to what he did. This is why he became so famous. He was committed. He had the right attitude. He continued to prepare himself. Then he would execute and he would expect. But this is the option. We can expect from God to help us and to put the right people, the right spiritually mature people on our path. So as we come back to this next week, I want to be able to discuss about discipleship. So in closing, what's the most important aspect of all this is being saved. Being that is to accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. For in Romans 10:9, it says, we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we would be saved. And from there, we begin to prepare. We change our attitude. We change our levels of commitment from being lackadaisical baby or carnal Christians to mature Christians. And then we execute. We go forward. And we always continue to expect from God. And in closing, support a kingdom building development. And our website is kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. There are other individuals who are putting some good news out there, trying to spread the word of God. Be open in your mind and in your heart to try to change your mind and your heart to follow Christ. And ensure, as you go through your week, ensure that no one has to walk their journey alone. Take a moment, take a pause for the call to show your love and sacrifice to help them be able to fight the good fight of faith. Thank you, and we will talk again next week. God bless.